Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Jump into the world of Wildcrats at Philadelphia's Please Touch Museum. Explore the world of this PBS Kids series in the Wildcrats Creature Power Museum exhibit, opening May 31st. Discover animal habits from around the world as you swing through the trees like a spider monkey, sneak through the forest like a jaguar, hunt for lunch like a platypus, and much more in this adventurous new exhibit. Get tickets at pleasetouchmuseum.org. That's pleasetouchmuseum.org.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
All right, super excited to be joined by Josh Zamora, a infielder utility player for the Miami Marlins and their organization. Josh, how's it going, man?
It's going great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You were on a podcast with a buddy of mine not too long ago. I think it's baseball, Beyond Baseball. And I listened to it, and he had reached out to me and said, hey, you got to get Josh on. He has an awesome story. So I'm like, all right, yeah, definitely. I checked it out. I'm like, you have a really cool background, everything that you've gone through so far. Just get to pro ball where you are now and stuff.
Right.
So what is the background, like your where does your story start, Josh, in the baseball side of things?
Oh boy, that starts when I was really young.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always loved the game of baseball, mm-hmm. You know, growing up, planning to go through travel ball, play Little League first, travel ball, all that stuff. Going through high school, I would say, was when I really fell in true love with the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you step on that field and there's no other feeling than being between the two chalk lines. There really isn't. And it kind of goes back to, you know, the group of guys that I grew up playing with. We all kind of went to the same high school, you know, and so I had that community of baseball that I could always, you know, fall back on. And all my friends have been from baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit earlier, baseball is such a small world,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, everything connects.
Yeah.
And so going through it, I mean, started, I'd say probably when I was really young. That's probably the best answer.
Well, talking about your high school, you went to El Toro, right?
Correct.
All right. So there has been so much talent that has come out of that high school. Chapman, Arenado, Steven Valiente, he's a buddy of mine. He's in the Rangers organization now. The Rangers, he was with the Mets. Now he's with the Rangers. Like so many guys, like how was it playing in a city, in an area that's just like, it's like rich with talent?
Yeah, you know, it was really cool. So I wasn't actually supposed to go to El Toro.
Okay.
I got two older brothers, and they're both older. They went to a Tribuco, a neighboring high school, mm-hmm. right? Technically the rival, if you want to get into that a little bit. And so I school choiced in because of the baseball program, because of the coach, and Coach Mike Gonzalez.
Awesome coach.
You know, yeah, he knows the game, and he has that history with his players. You know, he coached some of the best that came today.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be around that, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, are there just like urban legends of like things that Chapman and Arenado did when they were at that high school? Cause I mean, like I said, two of the best at their position in all of baseball.
Yeah. And Coach Gonzalez was a big fundamentals guy, you know, it's a big respect the game and play the game the right way. And so a lot of our practices, you know, there'd always be a bunting station.
Mm-hmm.
So bunting was always a core belief that you always had to, everyone knew how to bunt, you know? And the urban legend is, I believe it was 2008 when they made the CIF run. And it was like, he tells a story, bottom six or something like that. Nolan comes up with runners on first and second. And instead of swinging away, he lays down a perfect drag button.
Nice.
You know, and that's, and it, whether it's true or not, I haven't looked into it too much.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's something to get the guys like, oh, you know, well, if the best is doing it, then there's got to be something to it, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. I was thinking you're going to tell me he hit like a, he just launched a 3-run home run or something, but lay down a drag button. That's even cooler just because, like you said, he's one of the best to do it. And just knowing the fundamentals just kind of shows the importance of working on every aspect of the game, especially a part of the game that's kind of like not really there anymore. Like no one really thinks about everyone just like what the 3 true outcomes, strikeout, walk or home run and stuff. It's just, it's interesting to go back to the basics and the fundamentals of things.
Yeah. And it is cool, you know, going back for alumni games. And I'm never going to forget, I was 14-year-old freshman, you know, first alumni game, and Nolan comes out to hit BP, right, the honorary BP. Everyone kind of watches and really pays attention. And he grabs this metal Beezer Nike bat. And he was smoking balls over the fence. It was it was fun to watch.
Yeah, that's. Have you ever had a chance to, like, sit down or talk to him or Chapman or even other guys who've just gone through that before you?
I've talked to Nolan a little bit, not too much.
Okay.
Just here and there, he'd come out, take ground balls with us and stuff back when I was in high school, which was cool. And, you know, you get to ask him questions and stuff like that. Matt Chapman actually lives a couple streets away from me.
Oh, wow.
And our parents are more our family friends.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, yeah, it's a small world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'll see Matt around here and there and to add on what's up and. But nothing more than that. Just kind of what's up, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, those two guys are some of the best. And as Matt, I grew up an A's fan. So seeing Matt play for the Oakland was super cool. Seeing him get traded was super heartbreaking. But I guess I'm kind of numb to that feeling now as an A's fan, just kind of knowing that most talent will get traded at some point. Who was maybe some of the local guys in your age group who are also went pro maybe? Because like I said, California just has so much talent when it comes to baseball.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. So I actually played with Chase Luttrell.
Okay.
He went to El Toro. We played together. And he actually got drafted by the Marlins this year as well.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so that's probably the closest one. In Orange County, I mean, there's a ton. You have, you know, Michael McGreevy. Who else? Blake Hunt, I believe, catching still. Thinking off the top of my head. Who else? Patrick Sandoval's one.
Okay.
Went to Mission Viejo. Faced him my freshman year. Hans Kraus, Dana Hill's guy. Who else?
It's like I said, there's so much talent
there's
in it.
So many.
Yeah. Did you do travel ball and all that kind of stuff too? Or was it basically just high school? Yeah.
Yeah, it was travel ball. Travel ball was over the summers mainly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you could work it out. But, you know, when I went through high school, I like to think of it was like the last year of you have to play high school baseball, you know, and you don't want to miss fall games. You don't want to miss summer workouts or anything like that because you want to, you know, you want to play. Mm-hmm. And in order to play, you got to put the work in and be there with your team so that they can trust you on the field, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. So at what point did you commit to, because you went to Reno, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So at what point did you commit to Reno?
I want to say the end of my sophomore year of high school.
Wow.
Maybe beginning of junior year.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I was right in the middle.
That's crazy. So as a junior going into, but I'm sure like half this team was already committed at that point. Cause like I said, you guys had a stacked team. Like, but how cool was it just being like, all right, I'm already committed and I'm only a junior.
Yeah, and it's funny you said that. We had, on that CIF team, we had 14 commits.
Jeez.
14 Division I commits, I think. And it was crazy.
Wow.
It was crazy. That was a fun team.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. So, like, what went into your recruitment process? Because obviously, you went to Reno, but there's probably other schools that were interested in you. Like, what kind of, like, how was that whole process for you, and what kind of led you that direction?
Yeah, you know, it was cool. Being recruited, I always tell people, like, guys that are going through high school now, enjoy it, you know, because that's one of the few times where you'll get calls and, you know, it's all, I want you here, you know, and you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a lot of phone calls. You know, I didn't get a ton of offers straight out of high school. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of phone calls, talking to some other schools and stuff, and some obstacles got in the way of, you know, some of that scholarship wise. But other than that, once Jake Silverman called me, he's coaching at University of Washington now. He just called me, and as we talked, I kind of just knew that, you know, like I want to play for this guy.
Nice.
And then I got to school on my visit, and you know, met TJ Bruce. Awesome. Got it laid out. You know, this is what we do. This is mm-hmm. what we stand for. If you're about it, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, if not, we'll see.
That's so cool.
It was cool.
Yeah. No. What other schools did you get to visit though?
So I only visited one other school.
Okay.
And it was Bakersfield.
Bakersfield?
Yeah. Nice. That's the only other visit that I took.
Okay. So how was your college experience? Because you obviously played the 5 years. I mean, my COVID year, I mean, I guess four full seasons.
Oh, yeah.
But how was your college experience here in Reno?
I mean, I loved it. I love the city of Reno. Has such a special place mm-hmm. in my heart. You know, they call it the biggest little city in the world. And it truly is. Like, you can – there's all these little mom-and-pop restaurants, you know, mm-hmm. And you have your chain restaurants, all that stuff. But there's restaurants that have been in Reno for years, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's history there and the community aspect of it, especially around the baseball program.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other sports programs it's this tight knit group of, we're going to do what we can to put ourselves in the best position athletically, you know, mm-hmm. and it was cool. I really enjoyed it.
Who was your favorite, or what was your favorite like college to play? Like, what was your favorite team to play against? Maybe the fans were a little extra chirpy, and you just wanted to really just, you know, show out for them.
Yeah, I would say going to Fresno State.
Okay,
that was because you know Fresno State with Coach Batesel over there.
Yeah,
you know he coaches them hard, coaches them well, and they know how to play baseball. You
oh
know,
yeah,
he pumps out good ball players. And
Aaron Judge, ever heard of him?
Say again?
Aaron Judge, ever heard of him?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, you're walking into this stadium, and it's 102 out, super dry. And it's, you know, that once you, you know, throw the first punch, mm-hmm. they're not going to back down. You
yep.
know, they're going to come straight back after you. And you got to be ready to answer back, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I always enjoyed playing Fresno State because there's always a spark, you know, in that
yeah.
series, which is, it's always fun to play.
Yeah. Were the fans pretty chippy there or no?
Chirpy? Oh
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They traveled well too.
Oh really?
In Reno, their fan base would travel well.
Well, I guess, I mean, if it's not too far from like Las Vegas and like, I mean, you could probably make a whole like trip out of it. If, you know, like for example, like the Raiders, like everyone's like, oh, well the Raiders, no, they travel well. Cause who doesn't want to go to Las Vegas or Nevada just yeah. to catch a team. And then there's so many other things you could do while you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
What is maybe one lesson you learned from college? Because obviously you were there 5 seasons, 4 full seasons. What was maybe your biggest takeaway as a college player?
Biggest takeaway? I mean, my biggest takeaway would probably be not to take anything for granted.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a pure feeling to put on that uniform every day and be able to go out and compete and, you know, do it for the guy next to you. And then he'll do it for the guy next to him too.
Yeah.
And when it all comes together, you know, you learn this lesson of loyalty and trust,
mm-hmm.
you know, I trust that guy because I've seen him put in the work. You know, I've seen how he eats. I've seen how disciplined he is. I see, you know, that he's accountable with himself and, you know, he spreads love to others and always wants to help. And so I think I'll central it down to this. My biggest takeaway is you just got to be a good guy. You know,
yeah.
it's not hard to be a good guy.
Yeah.
To me, that's doing everything the right way.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to take ground balls, go take ground balls. If you got to hit, go hit. Lift, eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no shortcuts to greatness, as they say.
Yeah. What was your favorite home run you hit? Or as soon as you hit it, you're like, yeah, I'm going to remember this one.
I'm going to say Oregon State. We played at the Aces ballpark. and I hit it, and the light started strobing as I was running the bases. And everyone was on their feet. My parents were there. And it was just, it was awesome.
Did you pimp awesome. It a little bit?
I didn't actually. Okay. I did not. Which, yeah, I didn't.
Are you anti-pimping the home runs? You're okay with that? What are your thoughts on that?
I haven't made it yet. Yeah. You know, I'm not really anyone that's notable enough to pimp one. You know, like I haven't earned the ability to pimp it yet.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking at your stats in college. Like, you were leading. Like, we were one of the top players, like, after your graduation to play there, like, offensively. Like, I think you're a little bit in that environment. I think you're somebody there, Josh.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's, you know, that goes back to the small knit community. Right, yeah. Now. You felt super loved. It was awesome.
Yeah. So obviously, draft day comes and goes. You don't get drafted. At any point after that whole like situation and scenario, like, did you think to yourself, like, maybe I'm done with baseball? Was that ever a thought in your head?
Yeah, you know, when the draft ended, I was just sitting on my stairs, mm-hmm. and it was just a blank stare. My parents didn't know what to say. You know, I didn't know what to think or say. And I called one of my best friends, Ben Purcell, and just kind of talked to him. And I was like, dude, like, you know, I'm not done. I'm not done playing this game. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not. I know that, you know, in God's plan, there's something out there for me, mm-hmm. whether it's playing now, whether it's getting back to it and working, you know, my butt off to get to where I want to be. So that lapse, I wouldn't say the lapse hit me of mm-hmm. what's next, what's after baseball. Mm-hmm. It's more so kind of woke me up like a shock, like, oh, it could be taken away that fast.
Yeah.
So now it's you wake up every day and you get after it. You know, there's no shortcuts to where you want to be.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody who he was from Southern California as well. He's drafted out of high school several years back by the Brewers, and he was injured and out of baseball for 2 seasons. And I was talking to him. I said, what's your biggest advice? He said, just appreciate every time you put cleats on dirt. Like, you never know what is going to be taken away from him. And like, prime example, like 2 years of his career gone from just yep. random injuries. And like, you just learn to appreciate every opportunity you get to play the mm-hmm. game. Cause I mean, like you said, it could be taken away so quickly from you.
And that's how it goes. It's like, you said, appreciate every time you put your cleats on, mm-hmm. you know, and it's the very first time my cleat touches the dirt every mm-hmm. day. And you hear that little crunch, you know, and I reach over and pick up a little handful of dirt, kind of rubbing my hands. And it's like, you know, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Let's make the most of it. You know, you're going to play baseball for such a short time in your life, whether it be 20 years, 25 years, 15, or even 5 years, mm-hmm. you know, and there's no use in not go waking up every day
yeah.
and being thankful that you get to play a child's game, yeah. you know, for your life.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you 100%. So when did you get signed by the Marlins? Because obviously you're with the Marlins now, you're in pro ball. How did that all come about? Like, were other teams interested in you? Like, why did you choose the Marlins?
Yeah, so I heard from a couple teams during the draft. Mm-hmm. And then obviously after the draft, that didn't end up working out. I signed in July. So I got a phone call at 6 a.m. the day after the draft.
Yeah.
And I actually wasn't even awake yet, just because it was 9 a.m. East Coast time, right?
So 6 a.m. Yep.
West Coast time. And so I woke up, kind of panicked. I'm not going to lie. I kind of panicked. I was like, oh, crap. I just missed the call, you know? Yeah. And called him back. We worked it out, and that's kind of how it happened.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Was there any other teams that called you after that, or you're just like – like, I mean, because obviously, yeah. I mean, the Marlins are a great organization. And like I said, I told you, like, I've had so many guys from that organization on the podcast. Like, I'm basically a Marlins guy now. I'm not too far from Beloit. So if you ever get here to Beloit, hopefully, I mean, you jump to high A next year. But yeah, dude, like, I'm definitely going to come watch you play when you're out here in Beloit for sure.
For sure. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, for sure. So you get sent that, like, after that whole process, that phone call, like, how soon do they send you out to, like, instructs and our rookie ball?
The day after.
Jeez.
So I had plans. I had plans to go golfing in San Diego that day. So I got the call in the morning, and my dad looked at me. He goes, "All right, well, do you want to go golfing? Like, you got to pack and stuff." I was like, "No, I'm like, we're gonna like this is the celebratory golfer."
Yeah.
So, like, spent time with my dad.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was surreal. You know, that whole day was kind of like me and him. He used to throw me buckets on buckets of BP.
Yeah.
Shoulders beat up.
Yeah.
And it was just to be out there with him. Well, that was very special, you know. And then rushed home, packed super quickly, like three to four hours of sleep, hopped on a plane, and it started.
Yeah. Wow. So what was your first like experience with, like, did you go to, you go into rookie ball, right?
Yeah. Correct.
So what was your first experience with rookie ball? Because obviously the minors is a whole different animal.
Yeah. Yeah. My first experience, are you talking in game or like,
just overall, just like out? Overall base, like your just general minor league experience.
So I walked into the clubhouse for the first time. Right. And the big change for me was the first group that I came up to, right? Just introduced, what's up, how we doing? Didn't speak a lick of English.
All from like Dominican and stuff.
Oh yeah. And so I was like, all right, well, this is going to be fun. You know, it's going to be a challenge. But that's when I learned that baseball is such a universal language.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how you communicate. You communicate through the game. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and those guys are throwing, like, triple digits, too, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So then, like, overall, like, looking back after your first, you know, I guess, half the season, because you were drafted middle of the summer and stuff, like, how was that total overall experience for you then, just being able to say that, you know, you finished your first professional season in baseball?
Yeah, you know, it was a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's you always kind of dream of it as a kid. Like, oh, what the heck? Like, oh, you know, I want to be a Major League Baseball player one day.
Uh-huh.
Right? And you get out there and, you know, you put on a Marlins jersey, and it's, look in the mirror, you're like, wow, like, now the work begins, you know. Now it's not I've made it, it's what's next.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate it and I'm thankful for it. You know, I thank God every day that I get to wake up and play baseball for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't change a thing about it.
Yeah. So how's your off season been then? Cause obviously this is your first like official off season, heading into like pro ball.
Right.
Like, what are you doing to like, you're in Sacramento now, obviously you moved down there. Staying dry. as dry as you can. But like, how has the off season been?
It's been great. It's been great. Moved up here with one of my best friends, Owen Sharks. He's a pitcher in the Pirates organization. We work out at a facility called Optimum Athletes.
Okay.
Run by Ryan Matthews. And so we just, you know, we work on a train in the mornings and then kind of hang out, take it, go to work, do that kind of thing in the afternoon. But being around this atmosphere of a bunch of different pro guys and, you know, learning the game, learning the intangibles of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been the best part about it. But it's cool to be surrounded by guys with the same mission, you know?
Yeah. So when do you fly to Florida?
I haven't gotten a report date yet.
Okay. Yeah, and I said my goal is to get out there either end of February, early March. For sure I'll be at Marlins hanging around that area because, like I said, I talked to a ton of guys. Already got plans to hang out with a couple of them. If I see you around, Josh, for sure I'm going to holler at you. When you're
Please
not,
do.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like it's already a done thing. Like I said, I'm a Marlins guy. Like,
yes, sir.
they're
up, baby.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So when you're not pitching, you're not working out. Like, what do you do for fun? You mentioned golfing. Like, and there's a ton of golf spots in California.
Yeah. I'll golf here and there. You know, off days I can get out and golf. Other than that, just kind of stay home. I enjoy cooking, so like I'll dive into a meal and make something very good.
What kind of food do you like to cook? Like, what's your go-to? Like this is the winner. Like, I know this is gonna crush it.
Chicken or no? It's pork. Pork chops, rice, and vegetables. Pork chops, rice, and broccoli. Normally, broccoli or Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
And you balsamic vinaigrette, Brussels sprouts. You know, marinate the pork, and it's money.
Man, I'm hungry already. Just thinking about that. You mentioned movies and stuff. Do you Call of Duty or Xbox? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, Warzone guy.
Okay. Do you like the new one? The new Call of Duty or no?
Yeah, it's not bad. All right. I enjoy playing it.
I think I got used to the old map.
Yeah.
And there's just that adjustment. Yeah, like I knew where to go. I knew but now it's that whole adjustment period of like relearning a new map, which is But no, for sure. Well, hey, I mean, we'll have to squad up some time in Warzone. I know you'll for be sure. kind of busy heading out to Florida soon and stuff, but like are you Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation.
I don't hold it against you and all that, but
Xbox?
Yeah. Oh yeah, well they got crossplay. It's all good.
Yeah, that's true.
But I will say my headset's broken. I got to get a new one because I was trying to play.
That's important.
Yeah, especially with like crossplay because like for Xbox I could just use my phone. They have the app and stuff, but crossplay right. That doesn't work. So I gotta grab me a new headset. But yeah. Well, anyway, Josh, hey, I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time to chop it up a little bit. Hopefully, I see you in Florida. I for sure am going to see you in Beloit, and we'll have to chop it up again.
That sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Save big money on everything. Now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free. So you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.